venerable religious, dear parishioners, today we are given in the gospel a lesson on keeping Sunday holy. And this is my sermon for today. And we find that our Lord makes a distinction. He reminds us, as he was reminding those that were listening to him that day, that we are allowed to take reasonable exceptions when it comes to servile work. He gives the example of if one of your animals should fall into the pit. Well, even with the very strict interpretations given of the Mosaic law, everybody recognized you can do the work to take those animals out of the pit. So that is what we have to keep in mind. Is it truly necessary, servile work? If it's not, we would be profaning the Sabbath. If it's necessary, it is permitted. It's even an act of virtue, I believe, in many a case, to do so. So we have to go to neither one extreme nor the other in understanding this. Now, before I go on further, we have to understand that there's also, we have to understand that Sunday belongs to God. It's not our day to just, just spend it as we see fit. No, the day has to be given to God. We are allowed to take rest. We should take rest, recreation, but there has to be a spirit about the day. This is God's day. The other 6 days of the week are my days. This is God's day. And if we assisted Holy Mass and refrain from unnecessary servile work, we've at least kept the letter of the law. But that's not what we should be satisfied with. Our Lord made that abundantly clear in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not just keeping the letter of the law. What's the least amount I have to do to get by? He teaches us how to observe the Spirit. So this is what we must remember. As we reflect upon what it takes to keep the letter of the law, more than anything else, let's keep the spirit of the law. In the Old Testament, especially when the covenant was being made with the chosen people in the desert, when the Mosaic law was being established, we can see that there was quite indeed an emphasis on justice and severe punishments for breaking of God's law. And one of the things that was gotten across was the holiness of the Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, Saturday was kept as the Lord's Day. The apostles changed that in the New Testament to Sunday for reasons that are very cogent among them. The fact that Christ rose from the dead on a Sunday, that the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles on a Sunday, to show that we're not living the Jewish law anymore, we are living the new covenant. So God did not determine per se which day of the week. What God did determine is one day of the week is to be kept sacred and holy for the Lord. But anyway, we read in the book of Numbers in chapter 15, this illustrates how seriously profanation of the Sabbath was taken. A man among them was found gathering sticks, probably for firewood. He was seen to be gathering them on the Sabbath. And he was arrested because this was a very open and flagrant crime against what had been set down. No servile work on the Sabbath. And so important was this that Moses even took this to God. You know, it's not like Moses spoke to God every day, but at times he did. And he asked God, were there any extenuating circumstances where this man could be let off with a light punishment or no punishment? And God indicated, no, there were no extenuating circumstances. This man boldly and without remorse and flagrantly was breaking the law of the Sabbath, and he was taken outside the camp and stoned to death. And we can see why in the Old Testament there was such a great fear about working at all on the Sabbath, because people remembered that, the punishment that was given to somebody who in that way broke the Sabbath. This is why we read in the gospel for the last Sunday after Pentecost, how our Lord said, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath, because, you know, the strict interpretations that were being given, if you walk more than, say, 100 paces or so on a Sabbath, you were breaking the Sabbath. And as we know, the punishments were so severe to get that point across. Don't profane the Lord's day. Now, that interpretation did not come from God, but our Lord was acknowledging the fact that people held themselves to, you know, those strict interpretations on the law given by the Pharisees. And again, just the amount of time spent in walking came under that interpretation. Don't walk too much, otherwise you're breaking the Sabbath. But anyway, as I was mentioning earlier, we are also told, even despite all the severity and strictness, if your animal falls into the pit, take out your animal. Your animal's going to die. Or maybe your animal broke a leg. You're going to have to attend to that. You don't just let it suffer there until the Sabbath is over. So again, the point is, we must not go to one extreme or another. If it's necessary, servile work, we may do it. It may even be an act of virtue. But if it's unnecessary, we are indeed profaning the Sabbath. We are taking away from the observance of the day that belongs to God. Let's listen to just a couple of stories here from the Catechist to help us realize how this day of the week is the Lord's Day, to help us keep it better. Some of this deals with the letter of the law. Some of it deals with the spirit of the law. In Saint this is a story about St. Thomas More's respect for Sunday. St. Thomas More, Chancellor of England, was an ardent supporter of Catholic belief. When going to chapel on Sundays, he always appeared very well-dressed. One day someone asked him how it was that he was so particular in his dress on Sunday, and he at once made answer, "I have always dressed myself with care on Sundays and on festivals, not to please the world or through respect for any mortal, but through respect and love for God." Here's a story about a farmer who ridiculed his neighbor because he did not, like himself, work on Sundays, but on the contrary, attended the church services. "Well, suppose," said the neighbor, "I have 7 shillings in my pocket, and meeting a poor man on the way, I gave him 6. What would you say?" "Well," said the farmer, "you would be very generous and would deserve every thanks. But if instead of thanking me, he threw me down and robbed me of my last shilling, what then?" "Why, such a man would deserve to be hanged." "Friend," replied the neighbor, "that's your very case. God has given you 6 days in which to labor, and has reserved only the 7th to himself, and commands us to sanctify it. And you, instead of being thankful for his gifts and respecting his will, you rob him even of the 7th day. are not the two cases alike? The farmer agreed. He admitted his fault and corrected it. This reminds me also of how in the life of St. John Marie Vianney, we read how vigorously he had to fight against servile work on Sundays by his parishioners, and obviously work that didn't have to be done that day. And he chastised them, he reproved them. Don't take from God. He gives you 6 days, give him the seventh. And one of the ways we worship God is by not working on Sunday. You see, if we could work all day long, how could we keep the day holy? So no wonder the church puts that prohibition upon us. The church has given us exceptions. The church can do that. I believe that in the medieval times, when people came to town only once a week from their farming, from their farms, there was no other way to have a market. The church allowed it. But as soon as they didn't need to do that, the church forbade it. So the necessity is the key word. And again, that's what our Lord is getting across in today's gospel. Is it truly necessary? That's the $64,000 question. Is it necessary? If not, I will refrain because of respect and love for the Lord's Day. And there are other stories in here about people who suffered great disasters and died, and it was attributed to because they weren't keeping Sunday holy, and bad things happened to them. We read from the Council of Paris in the 829, the bishops, after condemning unnecessary marketing, bargaining, and all country business on Sunday, said, "There are many who have been struck with lightning for working on these days. Of many of these we have been eyewitnesses ourselves, and of many more we have heard by the relation of others. There are also others who have been punished by a sudden contraction of their nerves, and more have been struck dead by fire and for their sins. Their very bodies and their bones have in a moment have been reduced to ashes." But the point was, no unnecessary servile work on Sunday. And when it comes to commercial activity, if it's something for the day, the church certainly permits it. We don't have to be scrupulous here. That's why you can go out to eat on a Sunday. You can go to a restaurant and eat. Obviously, people are working, but people need to eat on Sunday. So this is necessary. This is certainly permitted. And you can pay for your food when you go to the restaurant. But let's not get lax in our observance. Let's realize this is an act of religion on our part, being careful to shun all unnecessary work. And after, of course, having assisted at Holy Mass, the church lays that obligation on us. It's a serious one. I'll close with this commentary from Father Goffin's Explanations of the Epistles and Gospels. Because the Jews, particularly the Pharisees, were so very superstitious in keeping the Sabbath, they would not recognize Jesus as the Messiah while he healed on the Sabbath, which was really a good work. But if the Jews were so conscientious through superstition and hypocrisy and considered the performing of an external good work on this day as a sin, some Christians, on the contrary, blinded by avarice and worldly pleasure, placed themselves heedlessly, nay, insolently, above the commandment to observe the Sabbath and do not consider those things as wrong, which are sometimes very grievous sins. Consider, my dear Christian, you serve your body the whole week. You use all your powers for temporal business to support yourself and your family, and God blesses you if you work with a good intention. Now God chooses one day in the week, Sunday, and in the year several other holy days, which you should devote to his service and the salvation of your soul. Is it not therefore the greatest ingratitude to steal these days from God and your soul and employ them to gain a transient good, or to indulge in vain sinful pleasures. At certain times, man gives rest to irrational animals, and you give the powers of your body and soul none of the rest they would and should find in quiet devotion, in prayer and meditation, and attending divine service, in receiving the holy sacraments, etc. So there we have it. Let's keep the Lord's Day holy. And as we keep it, not just the letter of the law, but the spirit, we will find ourselves far more blessed on Sundays and during the days of the week. Just give the Lord his day, not just this letter, but the spirit. And we will find God being so generous with us in return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.